Test, test, we're live. All right, guys, welcome to another episode. That was pretty rough. of the Grind Podcast, where I talk hunting, entrepreneurship, and the daily grind, what it takes to earn success. I'm your host, Eric Van Workum, joined by Aaron Van Workum. But before we get started, tell you a little bit about what's going on. Number one, Mountain Tough Fitness. This podcast is brought to you by Mountain Tough Fitness. If you caught the podcast I did with Dustin, the founder of Mountain Tough Fitness, you'll learn a little bit about its origin, its mission, its mission-specific workouts, and I can't tell you how it's changed the way that I can move and hunt in the mountains. You know, NFL players, basketball players, they train for specific things, quick cutting, speed, jumping, throwing. Mountain Tough Fitness is specific training for hunters. Like, that's the difference. And I was thinking about that the other day when I was packing a dumbbell over a 20-inch block, and I was like, I was twisting like all sorts of different muscles that you get sore with, like when you're backpack hunting, right? I'm like, this is really cool. It's mission specific. And me personally, I run a 5K. It serves as a warm up and some extra cardio before I get into my Mountain Tough workout. It sucks. It's very hard, but there's different levels for everybody. Aaron, I know Aaron's done GDs, minimal gear dailies, actually, MGDs. I'm doing gym dailies on top of my 5K that I just run on my own. And then Aaron's also done the mobility stuff. And there's tons and tons of different programs. I absolutely love it. Use code MuleyFreak to get 6 weeks free. Try it out. Don't get intimidated. I know I was intimidated at first because I don't know a lot of the workouts. I don't know a lot of the movements. But gym dailies, what I like about the gym dailies, this guy named Nick, he coaches you through it. And as you're doing it, he's coaching your form because there's a live athlete doing it there with you. Any thoughts on that, Aaron?
No, I think that's one of my favorite parts is that there's a professional walking you through all the different movements. So the gym can be overwhelming. Mountain Tough Fitness isn't. They walk you through everything. They show you how to do it. That's one of the things I love about it.
Yeah, pretty cool. So check it out. Use code MuleyFreak. Also, Aaron just got off a spring bear hunt. We just got off an oryx hunt. We're both getting ready for another spring bear hunt. So we're not going to talk about his spring bear hunt, but we're going to talk about the Blitz bonsai trip that we just did to New Mexico to hunt oryx. Now, if you don't know what an oryx is, which I knew what they were, I'd applied for it for several years to the New Mexico Game and Fish Draw. It's very hard to obtain this tag. In Africa, they call them a ginsbuck. They're visually striking antelope, distinct markings, horn length 30, 40 inches, grown by both sexes, which was interesting, right? The cows actually have a little bit longer horn, and the bulls are shorter but tend to be a little thicker, heavier. You know, these things can be up to 500 pounds, which I was like, was shocking to me. So they're between an elk and a mule there. I've never shot a caribou, so I can't say how they compare to the size of a caribou. But beautiful, beautiful animals. Tails like a horse, ears like a mule deer, and noses like an elk, and then eyes like an antelope, like a North American pronghorn here. Skittish suckers. We were hunting them out in the flats just off the missile range, west of the missile range. And dude, you can get within 1,200, 1,500 yards of these things and you just see a cloud of smoke. Wasn't that crazy?
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, but I did not know that they were as elusive and skittish as they were. I thought it was going to be like, oh, you know, get on them, get a shot off like that easy. And it was anything but that.
Yeah, you couldn't. So first off, you couldn't get any elevation to like just get up to a high point and try to shoot him from down low. You know, we're hunting him up against this mountain range, but you still couldn't, they didn't tend to be in this mountain range area. They're like kind of out in the flats and they run in herds of 2 to 40. And more often than not, there's 6 to 12 plus. And getting close to him, sneaking through the brush and trying to get a camera and a gun all on him at the same time. And then also select the one that you want to shoot. It proved to be difficult. I think we went on 7 stalks, just trying to get that going.
Yeah, 7 stalks. And for me, it was almost identical to an antelope hunt, except for add like 6 to 8 foot mesquite brush in there. And then try hunting an antelope with 6 to 8 feet tall sagebrush where you can't see them.
Yeah. How many degrees of difficulty are you going to add on top of antelope?
Oh.
Conservatively.
I don't know. 10 to 20% harder.
Yeah.
That's fair. Maybe 20% because of the brush. What I think it came down to. So they have better senses than an antelope, slightly better senses, but you add that brush in there and it's like, how are you supposed to get a shot off in that stuff? I'm like, how are we going to do this?
It was getting pretty tough.
It was tough.
But let's back up to the first of the trip. Aaron was on a bear hunt. Let's talk about that week for you. I'm like, hey, Aaron, you're coming to work hunting with me. He's like, okay. And he went on a, talk briefly about your travel schedule leading up to that.
So I met Tyler at his house. We went to bed at 11:30 at night, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we bear hunted that first night of the bear hunt. So we hiked in the first night of the bear hunt. We built survival shelters and we cooked steaks over a fire, and that took us till about 2 a.m. to complete. And then we woke up at 6. So it was like 2:30, I think, we went to bed. So that was 3.5 hours. So we got like 3 hours of sleep, 3.5 hours of sleep. And then I got another 3 hours of sleep when I drove home to Tyler's. I slept for 3 hours at his house, drove, met you here in Utah. And then you and I took like four 30-minute naps or something on the way to New Mexico.
Six.
No, it wasn't.
I counted
it was
six.
Not. It was
I said,
not.
How was your six nap?
And there was like maybe...
Why does it matter how many you took? The better, the more the better.
I'm just telling you, it wasn't much sleep. That's my point. And it was like anywhere from 15 minutes to like 45 minutes.
Had to
have
been
my
some
longest.
Of the worst sleep ever.
It was terrible. And every time I woke up feeling more tired than I fell asleep in those naps in the truck.
Yeah. So I drove 13, 14 hours straight. I was getting pretty tired. And I'm energy drink free for who knows how long, 3-4 weeks. I stopped keeping track. And I didn't take an energy drink, which I was proud of, but I was suffering. But before that, I went and got some, big fan of these pumpkin seeds at Smith & Edwards. And I was able to, you know, bite on. Those would wake me up every time. And then I'd pull the old Grandpa Chug trick, roll down the window, let that cool air come in on my face and wake up. But I was starting to struggle. And I was like, screw it. Why are we going to get a hotel? So Aaron and I kind of planned before this trip that we were going to truck camp in the desert. So we went and bought these canvas tents and some thick sleeping bags from Smith & Edwards. And actually, I'm really proud of that. That saved us a ton of time from driving in and out of town every day. So we slept out in the middle of the desert.
In the truck bed.
In the bed of the truck. But we didn't eat too good.
Yeah, we didn't eat too good.
First off, we didn't eat that night because we just went to bed. So there was 2 days of travel on both ends because it was a 14-hour drive, 2 days of hunting in the middle, and I counted 2 meals we ate in that entire time. We didn't eat during the day. We didn't eat breakfast. We just hunted because it was a bonsai trip. We only had 2 days to make this hunt happen. I met my buddy down there. We went out together. OT, you'll see him in the film once we launched this film. And so the travel on both ends was pretty insane. And then Aaron's didn't get any sleep before that hunt.
Well, and then that night we got in at like 3 a.m. or something.
Yeah, 3 a.m., 3:03.
And then OT woke us up at 6. So another three hours of sleep.
And Aaron was sleeping there comfortably, and I heard the roar of the diesel engine. And so I got up. I'm like, Aaron, he's here. And then I couldn't get Aaron up. So finally I had to shake Aaron, and you didn't know what happened.
It took me 45 minutes, I think, to wake up. I barely remember. I lost my puffy jacket. I still don't know where it's at.
Yeah, it was a cluster. And then we're trying to get our gear together because our gear was all spread out. You guys know how that goes. And yeah, it was like, oh my gosh. And then that whole day, we're like trying to figure out these oryx, and they're
stalking all day,
and we're exhausted. I was just like out of it, like my brain. And I knew this, so I was fighting hard. And I was actually the Tom Brady quote on Instagram when he's getting his hair cut. I don't know what it is. Some Bleach Report blurb. I don't know what it is. But he said, F you being tired. And so I was like, well, I'm like, I want to see if I can like fight this. And I started thinking, you're not tired. And it helped me snap out of it a few times. But ultimately, a few times OT was talking, I succumbed to my tiredness, and I probably head bobbed a time or two. But I didn't fall asleep. But we definitely got schooled by the orcs.
Yeah. That first day, I mean, literally stalking all day. And then going back to, you said we didn't eat very good. Eric asked me, it's funny, he blames it on me, but he didn't grab his own. But he's like, you got your jet boil and stuff? I was like, yeah, I brought it. He's like, okay, perfect. So we fire up the jet boil that first night, and we get like 3 minutes of fuel. Like, it wasn't boiling yet. It was like getting close, and then it just petered out. And it was
yeah,
like,
I knew it. I knew
so we dumped it in our freeze-dried meals.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't great.
First off, I vowed never to eat a freeze-dried meal again. I said I wasn't going to do that. Then it was like came down to convenience thing. I'm like, you got your jet boil? He's like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, okay, perfect. So we grabbed a couple meals from Smith & Edwards also. We ate cold, crunchy. Hard, crunchy freeze-dried meals, and I had a gut ache the next morning, that's for sure.
But we did have a root beer, one of those like authentic root beers to share.
What's
that
it
we
called?
Got from Smith & Edwards. I don't know, some German name.
It was good.
It was way good. That made up for it.
That did make up for it. We should get those for this next bear hunt.
We should.
All right, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about oryx, okay? You're probably like, oryx, are you guys in Texas? Like, no, this is a legit big game hunt. The cost of this New Mexico oryx tag is $1,610 for non-resident, so it's not cheap. They're proud of their oryx. So their natural habitat. Oryx are found in the desert, steppe, and savanna ecosystems of Africa and the Middle East at elevations between 3,500 feet to 4,800 feet. The Chihuahuan Desert in White Sands Missile Range is remarkably similar to the arid native habitats, where oryx substitute with very little water. I didn't see any water out here. But apparently, we saw the ruins of water when water does flow through. It absolutely destroys that country.
Yeah, it's not meant to, that country isn't meant to hold water.
Yeah.
And so when it rains, it just runs. There's no, the ground doesn't gobble it up. It just runs.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I'm going to read a little bit from New Mexico Game and Fish here. So bear with me. It seemed like an idea that time had come to create a sustainable population of big game where hunting opportunities in New Mexico were limited. Huh, that's interesting. So like, we need more big game to hunt out here. Let's introduce an African animal. The idea originated in the late 1940s when Frank C. Hibben, an avid big game hunter and then chairman of the New Mexico State Game and Fish Commission, remembered hunting an African oryx in the arid desert, similar to the region of southern New Mexico. Remembered? Oh, I remember. I hunted an oryx one time. That's interesting. This is right from New Mexico Game and Fish. Subsequently, the New Mexico Department of Game and Fish, NMDGF, from 1969 to 1977, released 93 captive bred oryx onto the White Sands Missile Range in the Tularosa Basin. Interesting. I would love to introduce some stuff here. Let's get some coos deer in southern Utah.
I'm sure they do okay.
Let's get some javelina down there. There probably is a few javelina. I'm guessing. Not many. There's got to be some.
Yeah.
You can't hunt them here.
So.
There's no tags for Utah. But anyway, similar to Africa, the Tularosa Basin has a large predator, the native mountain lion, that is expected to prey on oryx and help maintain a localized and healthy population. Hopefully about 600 animals. So they're hoping for 600 animals to kind of roam around. But the lack of predation and rapid reproduction of this exotic species quickly established a population that spread into surrounding areas, peaking at 4,000 to 6,000 animals by 2001. So these things were so elusive, mountain lions couldn't catch them.
Yeah, well, the other thing you remember that OT said is that they breed like bunnies. So, meaning they breed all times of the year.
He said 1.5 calves a year.
Yeah, and so they're breeding, and there's not a breeding season. It's year-round.
Okay, so here's what's interesting here. Current oryx populations are estimated between 3,000 to 4,000 animals. So I called my buddy, who's a biologist down in New Mexico, and I said, hey, dude, New Mexico Game and Fish said there's 3,000 to 4,000 in animals, and population-wise. He says, I said, there's no way. There's got to be way more than that. I said, I know a particular ranch where there's 750. He said, yeah, no way. There's 10,000 oryx in New Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said. So it says here, again, right from the Game of Fish, 3,000 to 4,000 animals. The biologist down there said there's 10. So I don't know where people are getting mixed reviews there, but the target is 1,500 to 2,500 animals. So I don't know if they're getting more tags. I'm not sure what they're doing. But anyway, back to the reading here. Already by the mid-1990s, the overabundance had prompted New Mexico Game and Fish and the White Sands Missile Range to develop a management plan to address the spreading population. Working with private landowners and public land managers for National Park Service, blah, 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 population management hunts now are conducted regularly and licensed issued periodically to hunt oryx beyond the boundaries of the WSMR. That's cool. So I'll just read what breeding says here. Alpha bull oryx mate with multiple females, just like an elk. While solitary males attempt to herd cows in their territory if possible, although breeding in Africa is annual and time to calve during the wet season, the rut New Mexico's less harsh climate is year-round. So they're breeding all year, which makes sense. That's kind of like why there's so many axis deer in Hawaii.
They same thing.
Breed all the time. Yeah, all the time. Females sexually mature 1 to 2 years and can be fertile soon after giving birth. Wow, that's crazy. That's insane. Given the frequent estrous cycles, females produce calves regularly at 9 month intervals. So they still, it still takes them 9 months. Gestations, 8.5 months, after which females leave the herd to give birth. Newborns weigh 20, 30 pounds and are conspicuously colored by brown, blah, blah, blah. They are a different color. What's funny, you don't see a lot of young ones, huh?
No, we hardly saw any. But again, I mean, OT said they were there. We just didn't see them because of the
It's too thick.
Mesquite. Yeah.
But look, the average lifespan of an oryx is approximately 18 years.
Oh, wow.
In the wild.
That's crazy.
Which shows you how well they are at fending off predators, right?
Yep.
And they're tough. That's one thing we learned. Super, super tough. He told me, like, hey, man, you got to shoot them low shoulder. Their spine dips into their shoulder. Their heart and lungs are all right there behind that shoulder, which makes sense. You can't shoot them behind the shoulder because you'll miss everything. It's wild.
Yeah.
You shoot them high shoulder, they'll run off. They'll knock them down and run off.
So we have a Colton Bergen, a buddy that loves to hunt Africa. He always tells us, like, hey, when you go to Africa, you have to, like, their bones are thicker. Their muscles are thicker. Like, their vitals sit differently. And so it makes sense that this oryx is the same. It's like you can't shoot them like you would a deer or an elk. Like, they're built different.
Yeah.
They're built for lions.
Right. Yeah, lions and leopards.
Lions, leopards, cheetahs. Like,
hyenas.
They're built for those. They're tough.
Yeah. What other cool animals can we name?
They don't deal with silly mountain lions or bobcats or anything. Yeah, they have to deal with big cats. Real cats.
Yeah, that's wild. But beautiful. What a striking animal. Aaron's got a photo that I can remember of a big bull on the horizon. And it was just remarkable. How about those desert mornings?
Yeah, I love so the desert.
So gorgeous.
Yeah. There's nothing like
love
the
it.
Desert.
Gosh, I could live there if my wife had let me. But anyway, so let's go back to the story of the hunt. So we chased a bunch of oryx that first day. Aaron and I were both head bobbing, having a hard time keeping it. But we went on these stalks. Now, these stalks are usually like a mile and a half, like, round trip. You're going and bobbing and weaving, and they never sit still. That's the other interesting part about oryx. They don't ever sit still, which makes it hard to film and try to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, they were always... On the rare occasion, we found a couple bedded. By the time we got over to them, they were already up feeding and moving. It's like we never got on an actual bedded oryx. Maybe that first, there were two together on the very first stalk. They were bedded for a half a second. They got up right away, and they were already feeding. And when they feed on the move. They don't sit there and feed and stay put. They're always moving.
Always moving. We got close on this one. We had this really perfect footage, and ultimately I was like, okay, man, I'm like, can we do better? And he's like, man, we're kind of over here where there's not very many oryx, you know. And Aaron's like, the footage is perfect and this stock's amazing. So I'm like, okay, let's kill him. And we could never like line up the camera and the gun.
I mean, the camera was on him the whole time.
At the same time,
camera was always on him.
I couldn't line up the gun with the camera. How's that?
That works.
Potato potato. And yeah, just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing. And again, it was moving. You could see the top of its back for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how am I going to shoot it when I can just see its head in the top of its back?
Yeah.
Like for 45
minutes. That was the
other
challenge. Yeah. That was the other challenge.
And then finally it fed through. You decided to move. It fed through to an opening and stopped for like 10 seconds.
And I wasn't quite
while
ready.
While you were moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were trying to shift.
If I just would have stayed put, I would have been good.
And so, and then of course it got up and kept feeding and it fed away.
And just to reiterate, there were times Aaron and I were on, there were a lot of times Aaron and I were both on them, but I'd have like 4 inches of their back.
Yeah.
And there's no vitals up there. There's no spine to break. Like it's not a good shot. You should not take that shot.
Yeah. Even when they went through a like shorter patch of mesquite, the shorter patch of mesquite still 4 to 5 feet. And so,
yeah,
again, top of their back. It's tough.
Me and OT kind of like going back and forth a little bit. He's like, just shoot through that brush. I'm like, dude, I'm never trying to put a bullet through a piece of brush again. I've wounded an animal doing that before. He's like, I've never seen a piece of mesquite brush stop a bullet. And I said, I've seen a leaf. I've seen pine needle stop a bullet, or at least fragment it. So I've, you know, injured the animal, never got it. AKA my Wyoming buck 1 year, you know? So I'm like, I'm not doing it. What's interesting about hunting is you make a lot of mistakes so that you can hopefully not make those same mistakes again. And that was just not a shot I was prepared to take. And maybe it would have been fine, but I wasn't going to do it. I want to eliminate like the potential issues so that you can try to maximize your success, really. And I just didn't, it just wasn't a risk. And there was, I felt like enough works around that it was okay. So I opted that out. And then we went up to the mountain. Now they're trying to keep these oryx out of this mountain range because that's where the native bighorn sheep are. So we went up in the mountains, tried to, you know, see if there are any oryx wandering up in the mountains. We didn't see any in the mountains. And we didn't see any bighorn sheep either, unfortunately. No. I'm sure they were there.
But we did. At the end of that night, we had like a perfect situation where a group of oryx started feeding up towards the mountain range. And so, which was awesome because we were able to get around. And finally, we hiked these three ridges, finally got on top of these oryx. And so we could look down and they were like 350 or something. It would have been perfect.
Yeah.
And it didn't take 2 seconds before they
winded us
or
wind switch. One of them spotted us. They've all looked at us and just cloud of smoke once again. And I was actually looking forward to, cause it was a time that I could have got prone, could have got my, you know, could have got settled in and could have got comfortable, but nope, it was, they're gone again. And honestly, it felt like a bow hunt. It felt like a challenging bow hunt and we had rifles and we still couldn't shooting oryx. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough.
That's why it was awesome when those oryx were going up into the mountain, because it felt like, oh, this is a rifle hunt. So we we could finally get up and get some elevation on them and do some some climbing. And of course, their awesome senses took over and they got us.
Yeah. And I got thinking at that point, you know, dude, this is tougher than I thought, you know? And then we went back to the truck, did some more desert glamping. It definitely wasn't glamping. We didn't have much. But that's when we had to eat that crunchy freeze-dried meal. But it didn't matter. Washed it down with some sugar root beer.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
It helped, yeah. So woke up the next morning. I don't even remember that night from that 14-hour drive, three, four sleepless nights in a row. I don't even remember rolling one time.
Yeah, I was charging stuff inside the truck while it was on. You fell asleep in the back of
the truck with the truck running.
While it was running, I fell asleep inside while I was charging camera stuff. Fell asleep, woke up at like 11:30, turned the truck off, and then went to the back, and I crashed hard too.
I remember thinking, "Gosh, he's got this diesel truck running." I'm like, "I'm never gonna fall asleep." And I remember you coming to bed, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. I just went back to bed, but yeah, woke up the next morning, felt a million times better. But before that, before we went out that first day, we did check zero on the gun. We have that new R30K suppressor and we had it on the Proof Tundra TI 7 PRC and, dude, got down and shot groups.
Yeah. There, you had a couple touching.
Yeah. A couple touching, third shot just off. And man, I will say putting that 30K KGM 30K suppressor on versus shooting it just with a regular thread on cap. Night and day difference.
Yeah.
How did you like shooting suppressed on your bear hunt?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Like, took the recoil out and you don't have to flinch with the sound, the boom, blow your ears out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Cool. We do have a custom R30K coming, Muley Freak. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a different colorway. It's going to have a logo on it and it might be a little lighter. I'm just saying. It might be a little lighter than the existing 30K. What's cool about the 30K though is you can adjust the gases and how they come out so you can kind of control how you want recoil to hit.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I haven't messed with it yet. It'd be fun to kind of mess with that. I don't know if you need an Allen wrench to kind of do that in the port holes there at the end of the suppressor, but it's going to be kind of cool. So anyway, back to the hunt, more stalks. So this time it was hot. It was really, really windy that first day, which helped us get in close. And now we got hot and no wind. I decided to throw on the Guzzler, the new attachment and accessory, the mini day pack or hydration pack that goes and clips into the Game Changer. Filled it full of 3 liters of water. And I can't say how exciting that was. That was actually pretty cool.
That was genius.
Yeah. And it was so comfortable that I wore it the whole time. Like when we'd go on a stock and then we'd get back in the truck to go on another stock. I just kept it on the whole time. And it's got load lifters just like a backpack. So you can take that weight off of your shoulders and make it more comfortable. I put some snacks in there, of course. And yeah, I was Aaron was dying. He had 3 cameras working his guts out while he's hauling around. I was just sipping on water the whole time. But some of those stalks took an hour or two. It was hot.
Yeah, I think that first stalk, we were a ways out. Like I think we had to, that was a maybe 2.5 mile stock, but that one, yeah, it was hot that day. No wind covering our sound, and I was surprised that we were able to slip into shooting distance a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
We were pretty quiet and slow, though.
Yeah, like the one time we got busted and OT came out from behind that bush, I'm like, there's no way they saw him. Well, sure enough, you just have to give them enough to know. But like, I feel like we did a pretty good job stalking, considering we don't know them very well.
Yeah, I thought we did really good.
Yeah, because I feel like we've stalked enough antelope that we know like what you can get away with and what you can't.
Yeah.
And OT was crawling for half a mile before we started to, and Aaron and I were just kind of like crouched over, like stalking, standing really. And it's because the orcs weren't in sight. And he's like, dude, these things are crazy. I'm like, yeah, but they can't see us. So let's, there's no need.
We can't see them right now. So we should be good.
We can't see them right now. So I don't think you need to crawl. No, you need to crawl. I'm like, well, okay. I wait till he turns his back. And then I just bend over because I'm like, we don't need to crawl yet. How was the rocks in your knees though?
That was awesome. Yeah, they were sore for like 2 days after the hunt, just raw, because I did kneel down a lot. Just those sharp rocks. There's tons of little just shardy rocks in that desert ground. That it's like soft. It's like soft. It's not quite sand, but it's dirt that's really close to sand. But then there's just shards of rock all over. Yeah. And so those cut into you.
So we stalk into some oryx. We finally say we're going to make a shot. It was like 200 yards.
Yeah, 250.
The challenge is you can't sit on your butt. You can't get above the brush. Like, you're literally almost, like, shooting like you're on an African safari, which is not something I'm used to. So, these big old clamps and tripod.
Bog pod.
Yeah, bog pod type thing. And I got this little opening. Aaron and I finally line up the camera. And he's like, okay, shoot that one. Yep, okay, it's walking through the opening. I shoot. I'm like, thought I maybe heard a bullet smack. But I'm like, then we also heard a zing. I'm like, no, that's him laying right there. And, like, it was just, like, this young one that ran off. I'm like, did I just miss at 200 yards? And I'm like, there's no way. And Aaron is like, how'd you dial it wrong? I'm like, you can't dial wrong at 200 yards. He's like, well, what do you got for velocity? I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's close enough. It doesn't matter. And I told him what my challenge was. And it was, if you haven't shot a lot standing, like, I was having a hard time keeping left to right. I was good elevation, but left to right. So I'm like, man, it shattered my confidence. Cause I'm like, come on, miss. So anyway, we went up to the mountain. And we set up I anchored in at 300 yards and just freaking pummeled this rock right smack down the middle, right where I was aiming. I'm like, okay. They're like, okay, well, let's try without that rear support, because I use the bed of the truck for the rear support. So I try without the rear support. And this is in a non-hunting situation, right? So it's a lot easier to make this shot versus an animal and the pressure. I'm like, 8 inches left. Shoot again. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try harder. 5 inches left. I'm like, there you go. I'm like, I knew I was having a hard time holding left or right. I'm like, I got to anchor in. So anyway, I'm like, let's check again. Then we went to like 400 or 500 yards, and then I anchored in and like smashing at 500 yards, just perfect. I'm like, okay, well, that's the problem. I'm like, it's tough shooting like that. You got a 9-pound rifle and you're trying to shoot it freehand. It's hard. It was kind of humbling, honestly, because we're used to getting prone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Sure enough.
Even Aaron was
left.
Shocked. He's like, no way you missed.
Yeah. Well, just like on my Colorado buck, I mean, trying to freehand off my knee, like it is not easy. And it's, you know, I think there are guys that, you know, hunt like that a lot. Like our grandpa probably freehanded a lot of stuff with his 30-30 and his other, you know.
But they practice
rifle.
That. We don't
they
ever.
They shot like that all the time. And
we don't ever.
Yep. So it was definitely a learning experience, like continuing to, you know, use different techniques and practice for different situations. And
It was good for me, though. It like made me really narrow my focus. And after being tired, I wasn't very focused. And later that night, we were able to make a few more stalks unsuccessfully. And we finally got on this group of oryx. And we bumped them. They started circling around, headed north, hurrying, got in the truck, and got out, hiked out to where we thought we might anticipate where they might go. And able to finally anchor down. And when I say anchor, get a good anchor and make a shot at 475 yards. And
more of a sitting position. You weren't standing.
Yeah, more of a sitting position. Had rear support. Wasn't standing. In hindsight, I would have taken a second tripod just to get a little more rear support underneath the back of the stock, you know? But it was good for me. It was challenging. And smashed this oryx and shot probably 2 inches low on the shoulder. So just completely shattered the shoulder. And just didn't get into the body cavity. But this 175 grain ELDX, crushed this thing. It kind of did like a little death run, but OT's like, dude, these things will go 10 miles. You got to get another one in him. So we struggled to get another one in, shutting it. He's like, I don't care where it is, get another one in him. So he was kind of running, walking away, facing straight away. And I tried the old Texas heart shot, missed off the left, I don't know, it was 400 or 500 yards, and put one up kind of through all the good stuff, through the hind end, through all the good stuff. Put him down, so I'm like, oh, he's going to be done. We get up there, he's not done. Head still up. And I'm like, well, I don't want to shoot him with a 7 PRC at point blank. So put one in his neck. Neck hits the ground. I'm like, okay, he's done. Head gets back up again. I'm like, this is insane. So I shoot him another time, through the heart with the Walther 9mm, and another time through the lungs, still up, and I finally moved a bullet up behind his ear and put him down for good. And you don't want to see things suffer, of course, but he started bellering. And I guess when you shoot them, they beller. And it's something like I'd never heard. How about you?
Yeah. It's almost like a moo cow in distress, but like it's a different sound.
Yeah. It's a little different sound. But it just... OT's been saying for weeks and weeks and weeks, they're tough, they're tough, they're tough, they're tough. And he sees, you know, several shot every weekend during this time of year. And I just couldn't believe how tough they were.
Yeah, he told us a bunch of stories where they were hit perfectly behind the shoulder and they run a mile.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah, just so beautiful, so much respect. This was like a 35.5-inch cow, which is a pretty big cow, especially for this part of the desert, this management area. And, what an impressive animal, and to have the opportunity to hunt something like that, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
And supposedly it's the best meat. It's like everybody's favorite. So I have it aging right now. We'll see how it tastes.
Yeah, we'll report back.
But anyways, we got it to the locker. He's got a little meat. Our buddy's got a little meat, 10 shed. Got it cut up. Cut it into four so we could put it in the big Grizzly 165, which that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. Get a whole bunch of ice, had an ice machine there, and got it in the Grizzly 165 and cut it up. And when we cut it up, he like showed us the anatomy of that front shoulder and how the spine like comes off the shoulder, dips way down, like almost into the vitals, and like curves back up. Yep. It was wild.
Like a scoliosis spine.
Extreme scoliosis.
It's crazy. Yeah. That curve was insane. And then you open him up, he, you know, opened up the cavity and you see how small their vital area is.
Tiny.
It's tiny.
You got like a 10-inch plate to kill an oryx. Otherwise it'll go
crazy.
Forever. Yeah. And they're so beautiful. I was like, man, I'd love to like cape the entire hide here and like put it as a throw rug. But their hair is pretty coarse. It's kind of like an antelope, but doesn't fall out as easy an antelope. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to put one on the ground or where kids can rummage around with it and whatnot. But beautiful, beautiful cape though.
Yeah. One thing that was interesting is when we, you know, got to your oryx, like it didn't smell like anything. Like no scent. So it didn't stink at all.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we cut into it, got into the blood, and it was like, oh my gosh.
What's the blood smell like?
Just like a pig.
Smells like a pigsty.
Yep, like poop, pig poop.
So when I got in the back of my buddy's truck, I'm like, dude, were you wrangling pigs? He's like, oh no, that's oryx blood. I'm like, are you sure? It smells like a pigsty. And sure enough, that animal did not even have a smell. That oryx did not smell. And as soon as he opened that up, Aaron was downwind of it.
Immediately, it's like I was right in the middle of Grandpa Chug's pig pen.
Yep.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Yep. And I walked, he's like, you got to come over here. So I came over there and said, yep, that's the smell I was smelling in the back of the truck. It literally smells like pig crap.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Weird.
Super weird.
Got to be something with, you know, them being scentless on their outside, you know, to keep from predators.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you open them up and I'm like, oh my gosh. That was crazy.
Crazy. All right, guys, game changers are going quick. Ranger Greens low, Black and Tan is out. Coyote is out, but we have a resupply Ranger Green and Black and Tan coming in. We have some limited edition ones coming in. It's a Coyote and Black and a Ranger Green and Black. So we do have some limited edition ones coming in. Watch our website every day to possibly snag one of those. We'll have the new bow cover on the website today. It is a bow sling / bow cover in one. It has those snaps, run up your strings and cables. It has reinforced foam protection on your cams to protect that from any sort of fall or, you know, your bow falling over in the rocks while you're glassing, what have you. But we have a cinch strap that runs underneath the cam, and so that creates tension so that that's how you can use the sling portion of it. And if you don't want to use the sling, you simply unclip the ladder lock and you can run the bow cover without the sling. But I think it's going to be awesome with the sling. I'm actually looking forward to it. I actually got tennis elbow 1 year from packing my bow around. So it's kind of nice to have that sling option. It's going to come in Ranger Green, Black, and Tan. That one's going to go quick. And then Coyote Brown. Additionally, Guzzlers online, they're going quick. I imagine we're only going to have another two, three week supply of Guzzlers. The holster's available. The holster goes on either on either side of the wing. Works for right and left-handed folks. And it also goes under the vinyl case itself. Now, quick hack, if you want to run your holster and your rangefinder on the right hand, there is a little hack, even though we didn't necessarily engineer it for this, but you can put the rangefinder pouch on the outside of the holster, which is actually really cool. It's not quite as firm, but it works. So if you're like in a pickle and that's how you want to run it, you can run it like that. So resupply of game changers coming in. If not, you can pick one up at Smith & Edwards, blackovis.com, Badass Outdoor Gear, Sportsman's Warehouse, Reno Shields will have them. So yeah. And then New Merino, check that out. That's gone fast. The new Smoke Puffy, that's been an amazing piece for us, even though Aaron, you lost yours. You didn't get to use it on that hunt. What else am I missing here?
Aliens grabbed it.
Aliens. We couldn't find it anywhere. New game bags. Check those out. Trekking poles. Yeah, we appreciate your support. That's a great way to support us, and you get something in return. We consider doing Patreon and all these other things where you just pay us to create content, but we're like, why don't you guys just grab gear? And that's a great way to support us, advertise for us. And if you like it, tell people about it. And then as always, we can't grow unless you share this show. So anyway, we got the Grizzly Coolers loaded up, iced up, got the animals in there. We jetted out of there. And I think we drove 5 hours that night. And dude, I was done. Like, seeds couldn't keep me awake. Nothing could keep me awake at that point. I wanted an energy drink so bad. I'm like, no, you're stronger than that. You actually had some on the way down, but didn't have any on the way back, did you?
Yeah, I had one on the way there.
But none on the way back?
Mm-mm.
That's what I thought. How's that been for you, by the way?
It's good.
You notice the difference?
I don't notice a huge difference. Maybe. No. I really don't notice a huge difference. Maybe just a little bit, like, anxiety level, maybe.
Has gone down.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine definitely has.
That's probably the one difference I've noticed. But.
And then we woke up the next day, drove. I think we got here about 4 or 5. It's funny. Yeah. I had to go pick up my daughter from dance. She jumped in the truck. She's like, you stink so bad. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she was smelling that blood from the oryx in the back.
That's crazy. Yeah, that is strong.
Like a pig. Yeah, it's pretty strong. But anyway, if you ever get the chance or opportunity to hunt oryx in New Mexico, do it. Apply through the draw. It's kind of expensive to apply for New Mexico. They take your money in advance, kind of like Wyoming. So if you apply for all the species, it's going to cost you $6,000 to $8,000 to apply New Mexico. But you get it refunded if you don't draw, minus your app fees. But they hold it for like 45 days. So you're going to pay the interest on your credit card. Or obviously you can pay it off and they'll pay you back. But I don't know. New Mexico is expensive. They like their big game animals.
Yeah, that's why I don't always put in. Yeah. Some years I do, some years I don't.
Depending on how ambitious you're feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So looking forward to trying the meet. We'll give you an update there. Hopefully we'll have some soon. We'll podcast on Aaron's hunt coming up. We're going to try to hurry and edit Aaron's hunt this week. We just put up a bunch of veteran hunts, some youth hunts on the YouTube channel. Check those out. Some really good ones there. We have a Medal of Honor winner on one of the hunts. Name's Earl. It's a neat hunt. Then on some deer hunts, we have some more fantastic vets. And then took some disabled youth and then just another youth kid on a hunt. And it was a fantastic experience. Was able to take my children too. Great experience in the outdoors. In fact, we drove the side-by-side to church yesterday. And Knox, my 3-year-old, he wanted to, leave church and go hunting because that's the trigger that the side-by-side is. It's usually we don't get in that till we go hunting. So it was kind of fun. So take some youth out hunting, take a vet out hunting. Appreciate you guys. Subscribe to the show. We don't grow unless you share the show. So if you feel inspired, it made you think, learn, whatever, otherwise inspire you, please share it. Definitely check out Mountain Tough. And then also MagView. Muley Freak 10 for 10% off MagView products. I think Smith & Edwards also has them now too. So yep. You can check out MagView.
Just got
Smith & Edwards. Yeah. So anyway, subscribe to the show, share the show. Appreciate you guys. Catch you on the next one.